Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Charlie Sykes, how you doing, by the way? Are you okay?
I'm great.
Are you good? Do you have friends again on both sides of the aisle? Are you coming back around?
Oh, no, I have no friends on either side of the aisle.
In fact, okay, that's where you would like to be.
Well, there's a perfect symmetry of Democrats saying, shut up about Joe Biden being old. And then people on the right saying, no, you need to shut up about, you know, Donald Trump being a rapist felon, you know, and all of that. So it feels comfortable and it feels familiar.
So it's
comfortable and familiar.
Charlie,
so much hate.
This is WTMJ at the Republican National Convention. Now broadcasting live from Media Row at the Panther Arena inside the RNC. This is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 7:12, two important updates this morning that will be talk of the convention this final day. President Biden has COVID, as sources suggest he is becoming more open to the possibility of stepping aside. That coming up first.
It is a tremendous hole in security.
ABC News crime and terror analyst, former FBI agent Brad Garrett. You've heard him on the morning show here from time to time. The more we learn about the assassination attempt on former President Trump, the worse it gets for the U.S. Secret Service, a blatant fail in their duty to protect the former president, this GOP nominee. ABC's Andrea Fujii on the timeline. According to lawmakers who've been briefed, the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was on law enforcement radar at the rally long before shots were ever fired.
At 5:10 p.m., Crooks is first identified as a person of interest, a full 62 minutes before the first shots. At 5:30, he's spotted with a rangefinder, which can be used to determine distances for target practice. At 6:02, Trump takes the stage. 6:12, Crooks fires those shots. A sniper then killed Crooks 26 seconds after he fired the first shot.
Calls here in Milwaukee and across the country for the director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, to resign. In Milwaukee, inside Fiserv Forum, Cheadle was here, chased down by a pair of U.S. senators.
This is exactly what you were doing today.
This
on the
was
call.
An assassination attempt. You owe the people answers. You owe President Trump.
Hey, Eric, you've seen the video as well. They're walking after Director Cheadle through the concourse.
I'm not sure if I... Probably a better place you can have those conversations.
Well, that was kind of Cheadle's point.
Don't need to chase her down like you're a resident. You're a congressperson.
Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, you heard them there. Cheadle was telling them at the moment, she's like, I'm focused on securing this convention. I also don't want this to be a distraction. She has been subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee and has said she will testify at a hearing Monday on Capitol Hill. As for President Biden,
President Biden arriving in Delaware after testing positive for COVID. The White House describing his symptoms as mild.
That's ABC's Perry Russum, the president not wearing a mask when last seen and left the campaign trail in Nevada to wait it out at home. Meanwhile,
after an effort to make Biden's nomination official by the end of July through a virtual roll call, the Democratic National Committee Rules Committee says no virtual voting will begin before August 1. The move possibly intended to buy more time to convince Biden to drop out of the race.
Yeah, CNN reporting this morning, sources telling them the president is now asking in private in some of these conversations he's having whether advisors think Vice President Harris can win, which is another indication is being suggested that he's at least open to having that conversation
right,
of what that looks like if he were to step aside. President's doctor describing his symptoms as cold-like. No word on when he'll be able to get out on the campaign trail again ahead of the Democratic National Convention, which comes up already next month in Chicago. 7:16 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Sneaking up on us, Green Bay Packers open training camp already next week. And still no long-term deal for the quarterback, Jordan Love. ESPN's Adam Schefter believes it's going to happen.
Well, the Packers veterans report to camp on Sunday. That is the day that they report, which means they're on field next week. And I think that the two sides continue to talk. And I think that eventually they're going to figure out a way to get this done.
Schefter on ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Gabe and Chewy. Love under contract currently through this season. That first training camp practice is on Monday morning.
No sports going on right now. Until Saturday, the All-Star break continues. Now the big storyline is going to be the trade deadline. So the deadline this year is July 30th at 5 p.m. Central Time. What will the crew do? Well, they've already made that trade for Rays pitcher Aaron Civale. So anything's possible, but that could be their trade because there's only so many different pitchers.
I think the Brewers feel really good about adding that arm already, and I think they will continue to look for starting pitching. But it's got to be a long list because you don't know who's going to become available, and you know that it is going to come down to the wire, and you need to be prepared to make any number of deals at the last minute when the sellers finally are willing to sell.
Now, one name being thrown around is Rockies pitcher Cal Quantrill, who has kind of had an up-and-down season, a Rocky season, if you will.
I will.
Could be a target. You'll allow that.
Well
thank
done.
You. It could be a target for some teams, including the Brewers, but of course the prices could be high.
7:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A familiar voice returns, but for a segment on WTMJ. He's coming up next.
Wisconsin's Morning News live from Media Row at UWM Panther Arena. So on Wednesday, Vince and I were at Pfizer Forum, middle of the afternoon, and President Trump was there. Showed up to do a walkthrough. So he was on the stage, looking around, you know, at the podium. And
There was a lot of pointing.
Yes, yeah.
Pointing and directing.
And a lot of people, right? Too. There's like a dozen people on stage with him, all just standing there. Anyway, he was doing that, and there's a lot of media. Obviously, as we get closer and closer to tonight, there's more and more media around. And among those in the concourse that we stumbled upon was former WTMJ host Charlie Sykes. And Sykes, very polarizing figure for a lot of people, but I had to get his take on a few things, so I picked his ear just to hear what he'd have to say about a couple of
former items. Former WTMJ host and author, writer, blogger, podcaster, all that stuff, Charlie Sykes. Yeah. So which is a bigger game changer, Senator J.D. Vance or the shooting that happened on Saturday?
Well, that's an excellent question because they are both game changers, but in very, very different ways.
Right.
I mean, obviously the shooting has reset 2024 in immediate terms. It set the scene for this convention. I mean, this is a convention that is now kind of a celebration of, you know, I mean, Donald Trump can now pose as both a hero and as a martyr. So, I mean, clearly he is benefiting from that. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be short term. Longer term, the pick of J.D. Vance shows you where the Republican Party is going. This is full MAGA. Trump could have chosen somebody from the more traditional wing of the party. He chose one of the most outspoken isolationists in the party, one of the most outspoken populists and nationalists in the party.
Yeah.
And so what that would indicate to a lot of traditional Republicans is that we're moving in a very, very different direction. This is a very wrenching change for them.
That idea of the extremist on both sides, that gap is growing every day, it seems like.
Well, you know, and what's going to be, and it's also it's changing the tone of the Republican Party.
Right.
I mean, you pick J.D. Vance because you want to go after union workers, you want to go after, you know, blue-collar workers. Very, very different than, say, what the Republican Party looked like in 2012. Now, whether he'll be able to deliver that, I'm somewhat skeptical. I mean, I do think that we need to put it in context that, yes, the selection of Sarah Palin was a game changer, but it didn't change the game the way people thought it was going to change it.
Mm.
And VP candidates get a lot of buzz and attention, but very rarely actually make a difference.
In Chicago, 1 month from now, who gets nominated? Joe Biden or...
Well, you know what? Speaking of unexpected, this moment that we're in right now, the fact that you're even asking that question, that we really don't know for sure. I was just on a television hit where we were discussing all of that. Our political landscape could be very different a week from now than it is where we're talking now. Because, you know, Adam Schiff from California just came out and said that Joe Biden should drop out. They apparently are going to be delaying that virtual convention vote.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real possibility that it will not be Joe Biden. And that creates something that none of us can really predict at all.
Charlie Sykes, how you doing, by the way? Are you okay? Are you good? Do you have friends again on both sides of the aisle? Are you coming back around?
Oh, no, I have no friends on either side of the aisle. In fact,
okay, that's where you would like to be,
though. There's a perfect symmetry of Democrats saying, shut up about Joe Biden being old. And then people on the right saying, no, you need to shut up about, you know, Donald Trump being a rapist felon, you know, and all of that. So it feels comfortable and it feels familiar.
So it's
comfortable and familiar.
Charlie
so
Sykes.
Much hate.
Yes. Charlie Sykes.
That was good to see him yesterday.
Yeah. He's looking good. He's doing well. He contributes to MSNBC. Also writes for The Atlantic, among other places as well.
Packers open training camp next week, and the Brewers don't begin play again until Saturday. We'll get into that in sports coming up at 7:45.
Remember the floating trash?
Yeah, quite well.
The balloons.
In the Korean Peninsula?
Yeah, North Korea was sending down to South Korea. Well, they're back.
South Korea saying North Korea has launched balloons likely carrying trash towards South Korea, with South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff saying the balloons were flying north of Seoul, about an hour's drive from the border. North Korea first started sending the trash balloons last month and was expected to resume its tactics, Pyongyang recently vowing to respond after South Korea sent leaflets over the border. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Yeah, so it's basically large balloons carrying, they say, waste paper and waste, so toilet paper, you would assume, and some other things. South Korea telling everyone, hey, don't touch this stuff. Don't touch the garbage. I don't know, like, who's responsible for collecting it and sending those balloons to begin
with?
Your
various Department of Public Works. Oh, you mean filling them up on the north side?
Yeah,
right?
Yes, on the north side. Who's doing that work?
Listen, we're going to need you to... It's got to be a military-type operation. Here's what your division is doing today. We're going to need you guys to take whatever you can find there.
All right, float it on over. And the whole point of it is because they're upset with some of the leaflets that South Korea has been sending to the North to try to get to the North's people to say, hey, look, here's what's really happening. Here's what you're being told. Propaganda stuff. So,
which would you rather receive?
That's a great question.
It's like when you're walking down the street and somebody hands you something, you know, some sort of cause or whatever. You know, most of them will take a no thank you, but sometimes they're like, all right,
sometimes
fine, I'll grab this. You know, I might even look at it.
Right, just stop talking to me.
Don't send me balloons of crap.
Don't float that over to my yard.
This news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Live from the Republican National Convention, downtown Milwaukee, one final day of the convention. Just a word for folks who might like to return to downtown Milwaukee, whether to work or to do anything. This security apparatus expected to remain in place at least into tomorrow morning. The convention officially closes tonight. The gavel down party is tonight, but folks are still around, and it's a hefty installation, both the vehicle checkpoints, all the metal detectors, and the other various pedestrian checkpoints. So Eric and I have been talking to folks that we've gotten to know here over the last several days.
Yeah, security personnel from all over the country.
Asked the guy at the vehicle check-in this morning, I'm like, so when is this, like, when are you breaking down?
Yeah.
He goes, I would expect it tomorrow morning at least still, because you don't just open the floodgates then when they say, all right,
not
that's
everyone,
that.
Come on in.
The guy made the point, Secret Service made the point, like, there are still people here.
Right.
The people that we're protecting and the whole reason this apparatus is set up, there's still people here, so it's not like they just evaporate. So I would expect that through the morning, you'll see them breaking down as the day continues, but it'll still be a little bit congested
and
in and around Milwaukee.
There'll still be those huge barriers in place, too, blocking some of the city streets, just because it takes a moment to get those. I mean, you got bobcats and different tractors that are going to have to move that stuff out of here. So that'll probably, into the weekend, you might notice some of that still sitting around.
But start getting the city back tomorrow morning.
Yeah. And by the way, you can still come down.
Absolutely. You had somebody meet you down here.
I had friends meet me down after the convention on Wednesday. It was great. And they were happy they did. They just wanted to see the spectacle of all these people.
Still a lot going on. I'm hearing anecdotally that things outside of the security perimeter picked up a little bit. Yesterday and into last night, a few more people around.
Yeah.
So
I was at the Harp and not
picked up, huh?
They had a band playing, and unfortunately, not a lot of people enjoying that.
It was you and the band. There were more members of the band than there were.
And it was a good band, too.
7:45, sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Green Bay Packers open training camp already. Well, you get the whole when do people report, rookies and free agents report a day or two ahead of the
rookie orientation
usually.
And right. All that.
Veteran report day is Sunday. First Green Bay Packers training camp, which is open to the public. That will be Monday morning. You also have the dream ride, the bicycles, and all that stuff, which has now become contrived and sponsored and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Back in my day, when I was working at training camp, it was literally neighborhood kids and their bikes.
It was organic.
Yes. But that all kicks off next week.
To baseball. Kind of a slow period in sports altogether, right? What we have right now. No games today. Most MLB teams return tomorrow, except for two. Brewers and Twins. They don't start until Saturday. So the next big storyline that you're going to hear about in MLB is the trade deadline, of course, which is quickly approaching. So the deadline this year, it's always usually like July 31st, right, or August 1, like right there at midnight or 9 p.m. or something like that. Well, the deadline this year is July 30th at 5 p.m. Central. And the Brewers have some possibilities of trying to go after another pitcher, perhaps. They already did trade for Aaron Civale from the Rays, and that's been a good trade for them. So what do you do now, and how easy is it to find a trade partner?
The teams that are sellers, that list is very, very short. So the teams that have pitching to sell, that are willing to deal, they have all the cards.
Yes, that means you're going to have to pay for it. That's Adam McKelvey from MLB.com for the Brewers he reports for. And, yeah, if you're going to want to get a pitcher, even a so-so pitcher, you're going to have to pay for it because the number of buyers versus the number of sellers is very dramatic.
Don't do it. There's nobody out there. I mean, if you can get CC Sabathia, okay.
What, right, Cal Quantrill doesn't work for you?
It's not tripping my trigger. If you're going to blow up some young guy or mess around with somebody who's actually playing right now, and we've seen the movie before of where you mess around with the clubhouse juju, like things are going well in there. Guys like each other. They're playing with passion. They're playing for one another.
I don't know if you've noticed, though. They have had a hard time keeping starters.
Well, we've started 47 different pitchers this year.
Although you can argue, though, that a lot of them are now starting to come back.
So right,
now
so you got that.
That could be your trade. Maybe just them coming back off the IR.
Brewers 360, sponsored this morning by Holiday Automotive.
Idea Man.
I think you guys should be pushing. Get out to Vegas. Do a road show. Morning road show out in Las Vegas.
Innovator.
It has a good chance of beating the Eclipse.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
No, here's what you do. No, you get all the way, but you stop in Reno. Because then you're 97% of the way.
All right.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Tausch, want to get to Jordan Love in a minute, but just to set the scene for you here, stretch run for Eric and me in our live broadcast from the Republican National Convention, and Eric has the look about him of, like, you know when you get towards the end of the day with your phone and the battery's kind of going down, and you're like, I may actually have to plug this in before end of business today. that's what I see in Eric today.
So, Vinny, I think when you have an event like that, like this is kind of the Super Bowl of politics, right? As you get through and you're kind of grinding and you kind of get that glaze about you, man, is it almost over, but I got to finish strong. You head into the green room and get that illegal coffee. That's what you got to go do.
Oh.
We found it. We found a source on site, Tausch. I don't know where it's being procured, but we've been taken care of.
Yeah, so speaking of that, so Vince finds out where the free coffee is, and you basically have to prepare or pretend you're with some type of network. So he brought me into
I'm
a place.
With the network?
Oh, we're with the network. We got some free coffee that way.
Look like you know where what you're doing, Tausch.
Yeah, that's always the key because the free stuff always tastes better. But I can kind of totally empathize with where you guys are at because you're 4 hours, you're grinding away. And then the beauty of it is just talking to Pancake. Then you think, all right, this has probably got that Friday vibe to you, but you're still working the actual Friday because today's Thursday. And it just makes you think all the way around, man, this is where you got to really push, Eric. This is that final stretch.
The word, The worst part was when I pulled through the checkpoint today, the security checkpoint, the guy says to me, "How's your night been?" And I'm like, "Dude, I just got up.
I'm on the front end, brother." Hey, man. It's good. I want to get your take on Jordan Love, as he does not have a new contract extension. I mean, he's signed through the end of this season, but camp opens on Monday. I've heard talk and suggestion even that he'd be crazy to set foot on that practice field on Monday without a new deal in place. You got thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we've discussed this ad nauseum the last couple of days, and you know, I think, you know, Jordan Love was down. He had the camp down in Milwaukee. You know, a bunch of kids showed up, and then the press was asking, and everybody is interpreting everything else. But he's already there. I mean, he's up. The rookies and quarterbacks have reported up into Green Bay. So it's going to be really interesting. You hear agents, and Adam Schefter was on Jen Gabe and Chewy kind of, you know, discussing that they're a little bit further apart and that the new deal is probably not going to be done by Monday. But I think where Jordan's at in his career and the fact that he's played, you know, really 1 year as a starter, I don't envision him not being out there and practicing. I think Monday is going to be really fascinating because there are going to be a lot of people that think, don't you dare take a snap until you end up getting that new contract. I still believe there's a lot of posturing, a lot of jockeying by both sides to get what they want so that the contract gets done more to their liking than to the other side. I still think it's going to get done because it makes too much sense not to by Monday. But if it doesn't, the real interesting thing is, will he play in any preseason games? Because practice, you put the red jersey on, you're not going to get hit. The idea of getting injured is going to be a lot less limited than it would be in a game. But this is something that I think all Packer fans are incredibly interested in because the quarterback makes such a difference. But I still think all this other stuff that is being said the next 3 or 4 days, you know how that goes. When you have a deadline, everybody wants to kind of leak out what they're thinking so that the other side will think, well, maybe he won't practice. Maybe he won't play. And that maybe you'll get that offer bumped up a little bit more to make it more palatable so that the deal can actually get done.
Well, what are we talking about, Tosh? Are we talking about anything significant, or are we talking about like $500,000?
What, is $500,000 not significant? I got to get into this morning news business a little bit more.
Not to the likes of us, it's not. I mean, to some people it might be.
That's actually a really great question, Eric. And I think it has to be the guaranteed money portion of this because the market tells you what it is. And Trevor Lawrence got paid. You know, Tua's going to get paid. Oh, that, I think everybody has a general. You're in the general vicinity on that, right? Then it comes back to, well, the Packers like structuring contracts a certain way. A lot of other quarterbacks have gotten a lot more guaranteed money than what I'm sure the Packers are going to want to give Jordan Love. So do I think that that average per year is going to be around where Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence is at, which is about $55 million? That's probably where it's – I would think that's about where they're probably settling in. Then it just comes back to, well, how much guaranteed money are we going to give? Is it going to be more along the lines of Joe Burrow, which his contract is almost all guaranteed? Or is it going to be more about Trevor Lawrence's where 2 or 3 years are? That's my guess what the big sticking point is going to be and who ends up winning that battle. That's where I think the Packers will end up getting the better of it when this deal finally does get done.
Hey, Tausch, Big Plans Bilstead brought a mattress, a blow-up mattress, to the studio. He thinks he's making it to 9 o'clock tonight in the president's speech.
I was going to cover the speech tonight.
You won't make lunch.
Well, if he's... Let me tell you something. If he's already getting confused for coming in late, for staying late with the security, and with you saying that he's a little glass-eyed and it's, what, 7:57? You know what? At training camp, we used to get these little sleep pods so nobody had to leave. Maybe Bilstead gets that nice blow-up air mattress, finds one of those beautiful dark corners, and just goes and takes a 5-hour power nap and can do it. But I would bet that that ain't going to happen.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tausch. We'll report back. 7:58.
All right.